from the GTDG.com studios in downtown San Francisco. You're listening to 95.7 The Game.
We're gonna play on and stand strong with Jolo and Dibs. Turn the game on.
I want you to.
The volume, it's time to play ball. With Jolo and Dibs, turn the game on.
And like that, we begin.
On y'all.
Lo Neal is in the building. Dan Dibley is in the house. Of course, the delightful Anna Gagarakis is here. But lo and behold, surprise, surprise, surprise. It's not Gomer Pyle. It's TV's Jim Cosimore.
What's good, Jimmy?
Had to bring in the A-team to keep it on the rails for you guys this morning.
Representing the Giants, aren't you, boy? You know all that orange, ain't you, Jimmy G?
You got those San Jose Giants up top.
Yeah, exactly.
Great games, by the way. That's a fun venue to go to.
Exactly. I love minor league baseball, and I'm supporting my team, all my minor league teams, my Stockton's Ports. My Sacramento's Rivers Cat.
Your Modesto's
My
Nuts.
My Modesto's Nuts.
Oh, yeah, we can go deep. Bakersfield Blaze, no longer an organization. Before we go further down toward low country.
Once you got the nuts, he got really happy. Started laughing right away.
Look at that. Is that what it was? Is that his trigger, his positive trigger?
Absolutely. Jimmy, we love you.
Wow, it didn't even take a minute and a half.
It sure didn't. As you probably have ascertained, Joe Fortenbaugh off for the next couple of days. Today and tomorrow, myself and Dan Dibley, Lo Neal, and Jim Cosimore up at 8:30. Greg Papa, the Godfather, he will lay out his Warriors second half hot takes. Anthony Slater, he of the 7 storylines to watch today at theathletic.com. If you want to read a piece, we'll be borrowing all 7 of those points.
7?
By the way,
is he millennial? Because that's how they do things. It's not a top 5,
right?
It's not a top 10. It's got to be an odd number, like 7. It's got to be a prime number.
It's a lucky number.
11, 13.
Yeah. Prime numbers. We actually were talking about that earlier because Monty Poole, Stephen Langford, who's in for Cody as we're running with the twos today, he mentioned that Monty Poole had his 5 things to watch second half.
Thank you, Monty, for a decent list.
But Anthony Slater comes with 7. So is it bigger, better, low? 7, I'll go to you for this.
7 is God's number. It took God 6 days to create the earth, and on the 7th day he rested. 5 is grace. The walls of Jericho, they watched around them, the walls of Jericho 7 times, and the walls came tumbling down. So grace is 5, and God's number 7.
No, why is grace 5? Because the walls of Jericho, you said he went around 7 times. Wouldn't that be 7 for grace?
No. 7 is just
walk
5.
Me through it, Lo.
Yes, I just said 7 is God's number. That's how many days it took to create. There were 6, and then on the 7th day
yeah,
rested.
Yeah, so I got
that's
that. But as far as I got in the Bible, Genesis, and I had to shut it down.
Jim, you take over the show.
7 is not the lucky number, though, isn't 8? This is Chinese New Year month, isn't it?
Well, that's right.
And 8 is the lucky number. So he should have done a list of 8, but he was too damn lazy. Good morning.
Yes, and he did 7 instead. Bobby Jackson of the Sacramento Kings will join us at 9:30. Warriors-Kings tonight as they start the second half. Lo Neal, what do we look for from the Warriors here over the final 25? What are some of the things you'll have your eye on as the Warriors close in, hopefully on a top seed?
I think it's got to be consistency. I think that when you look at the Warriors, sometimes the inconsistency, especially Dibs, when it comes to the board. And I think, Jim, we all alluded to that last time you were here. And we talked about the inconsistency on the boards. And when you know Boogie Cousin has played a big part of trying to give them an inside and outside game as a big man, a guy that's brought in to score and do other things and play more defense. But I think the boards is a concern. And also continue to work on the turnovers, making sure the turnover ratio stays down. But I think right now, heading to the second half of the season, you want to see your role players play better, but also the consistency and rebounding.
You know what? I'm interested in DeMarcus Cousins. They're lifting the 25-minute limit, and they're letting him go a little bit. They're going to let the big fella roam. And I think now you're going to start to see a team that hones itself for the playoffs. I'm really interested. Maybe it's because it's the newest, shiniest toy. I'm most interested in seeing Boogie starting tonight against his former team, and how he's going to look, and what that means. What does lifting the 25-minute cap mean? Does that mean he's going to get to 30 minutes? Is he 32 minutes, 8 minutes a quarter? I'd like to see how they're going to play that.
What do you think about the fitness plateau and the idea of whether or not he can stretch to 30 minutes? Because you look over his last 6 games, shooting it just at 37%, 3 of 20 from 3-point land. It seems like he's been getting more fatigued in these games. Do you think that stretching him to 30 increases his productivity?
You know what? I think for any player they want to play, remember when we saw him playfully arguing with Steve Kerr about, come on, keep me out here, I'm feeling it.
Yeah.
you know, you're away from the game for one full calendar year. Your body isn't the same. You think it is, right? As an athlete, sometimes your mind says, oh, no, I can do this. And then you get out there and your body tells you another thing. Yeah, he seems like he's getting tired. But he just went through a – listen, when he came back, that was like his training camp.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it was.
And everyone else is in midseason form.
Right.
He's got to catch up. I'd be interested to see what he was doing the last 8 days without a game.
I think that's the biggest thing. What did he do this last 8 days? And I think it's Boogie. I think if you watch a lot of tape, you want to see how'd you look? And I think the biggest thing that Boogie needs to work on, Dibs, is footwork. Continuing to develop his footwork because, you know, sometimes he doesn't seem to slide a feet. And you see him sometimes stumble, get in awkward positions. I think the biggest thing that he's been doing, a lot of balancing, a lot of jump roping, a lot of lateral movement in the post. What is he doing? Working on his moves because you saw at times him getting stuck and kind of stiff and doesn't look as fluid as he would like. So I think once you evaluate, you do some self-evaluation, and I think Boogie did a lot of that during these last 8 days and with conditioning, and those are the biggest things. I want to see how he looks fundamentally in the box, down there in the box, and see how he is in that post game.
Steve Kerr even said he's been getting fatigued. It looks like he's getting fatigued. That's just the eye test.
Well, also with fatigue, you got to realize when fatigues make guys look, you even look, the more fatigue you get, your body, your posture, everything starts to come unglued, and you don't look like
the
good.
Fundamentals. Your
Absolutely.
Fundamentals aren't the same.
Absolutely.
You get a little. I don't want to say you're lazy because you're tired.
A little lackadaisical.
Exactly.
Though,
you're a little lax in every move you make.
Up Absolutely. In 10 minutes, we're going to break down possible playoff opponents for the Warriors, and at 6:30, I want to get your thoughts, gentlemen, on Zion Williamson and what we saw last night. Shoegate, or just an unbelievable moment, and we'll talk about the biggest loser from that incident. But DeMarcus,
there are no losers.
Well, there actually could be three losers. But DeMarcus Cousins, as you look at what you talked about, the footwork and defensively, do you think that he right now would be a guy you would put in your finishing lineup if you had a close game? Or are you still of the mind that it would be Andre Iguodala's time?
I think you're still leaning toward Andre Iguodala, but it also depends on the circumstance. It depends on what the other team is doing. If they decide to go big and they're bodying you up and you're not getting the boards and they're not giving you a lot of second shot opportunities, then you go back to DeMarcus Cousins. So it's a field game, and I think Kerr's done a masterful job over the past years of understanding when to go big and when to go to with the Hampton Fives. And I think you'll see Boogie Cousins in certain situations finish games. I think
that'll be interesting.
You do have to have him finish some games. I guarantee you there was going to be some times this year, and especially in the playoffs, that you're going to decide to go with him. You have to, because he wants to show that he can play in the games and finish games. And I think if you monitor his minutes and the way and when you put him in, I think it can help.
But you don't owe him anything. He's given you nothing when it comes to championships. When it comes to late game situations, if I'm Steve Kerr, don't I stick around with the guys, my Hamptons Five? Don't I say, hey, Boogie, real nice effort tonight. Now you just enjoy these guys closing it out.
Well,
how can you not? They want it for them.
Yeah, but you've seen the Hampton Five, as last I looked, they're not undefeated. At times they have, you know, they have been, it hasn't been what you'd like to see. So I think that there's going to be a feel thing. As Bolchi, as the skipper talks about the Giants, he's saying, you know, it's a gut thing at times. And I think Steve Kerr has been masterful when to use these guys, and I think he'll continue to do that.
And also I think it'll be determined by matchups.
Absolutely.
As far as, you know, if you're playing against Oklahoma City, perhaps,
right,
and it's
right,
Steven Adams on the floor, maybe you find yourself needing to go big,
right,
to have DeMarcus Cousins match up to some of the tougher big men. But if it's Denver and it's Nikolai Jokic on the floor, Jim, would that be more of a Draymond matchup?
Boy, that's a good question, because that is the most unique big guy in the Western Conference. Clearly, the most unique for what he can do. He's a triple-double threat each and every night, Jokic is. Totally fun to watch, but it's not one of those, oh my God, he's so thrillingly exciting. It's, oh my God, he just, like at the end of the night, you go, oh, he's got a triple-double. How did that happen all of a sudden? He's so talented, he could play beyond the arc. Boy, could Boogie... You know what? I think these next 25 games is going to determine for Steve Kerr if Boogie Cousins has the type of A, stamina, but B, mobility to play against a guy like Jokic, if in fact you can utilize him in situations like that.
I really believe that Steve Kerr is going to be on the side, Dibs, to say, you want to be in the end of the game? We got to have a nice little lead, too. I think it's going to be predicated on some of the things, how the game is looking, how game flow is.
One thing that helps DeMarcus's case is he is a good free throw shooter. In case you do have a tight lead, you can play him in that situation, whereas some big men like DeAndre Jordan, you certainly couldn't.
Is he a knockdown shooter?
He's not quite a knockdown shooter, but he's a better than average shooter.
Listen, as a player, DeMarcus Cousins is freakishly skilled. Freakishly skilled. And when you put him on the floor with those guys, one, if he can get that, if he can get a little bit more, I would just say get his lungs. Let's just say that. Get his lungs. I'm telling you, working with what the Warriors are doing, I could go from the guy who was taking the field 2 months ago. Remember you said take the field or not?
Oh, yeah.
I was taking the field to a guy who's saying they could go 16-0 once you get to the playoffs.
The Boogie angle, one of the big ones for the remainder of the year. What are the other six big storylines? Because we're not mailing it in.
Six more?
Those are coming up next. It's Jolo and Dibs. Uncle Co's in for Fortenbaugh here on 95.7 The Game.
Jolo and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Good luck with that.
No, it's, I like this because sometimes he knows the lyrics and he kills it, and other times, unfortunately, like this time, he's coming up empty. So, you know, if he was a baseball player going 1-for-3, he'd be a Hall of Famer, but as a welcome back to the show singer, unfortunately, he falls short.
Wow.
I did.
Dibs, Coes, and Lowe here. On a Thursday, up in 10 minutes, we're going to talk about Zion Williamson and just who may have been the one who lost out the most last night. Was it Duke? Was it Nike? Was it Zion himself?
Was it the fan?
Was it Barack Obama? We'll get into that, Jim. Don't jump the tease. Don't be a tease blocker. We've discussed this. That's coming up.
Thank you, Obama.
In just 10 minutes. For now, we're going to lift generously and gently from Anthony Slater, who joins us at 9:10. He writes for The Athletic. Incredible Warriors writer. Today, he's got his seven storylines for the Golden State Warriors for the, quote, second half. And, Jim, should we really even call it the second half when there's only 25 games left of 82?
That bothers me. And it's just lazy, and I expect this from the media. Fake news, second half, I get it. Go ahead with your seven. List those seven.
It's not even the final third. It's less than even a third.
Exactly.
It's really close to the final 30%.
Call it the stretch drive. Let's call it the stretch drive.
It is the stretch run. So as we get deeper here, Warriors, almost a certifiable lock to make the playoffs, probably 99.9%. But who would you like to see him play, Jim? Your Sacramento Kings, a team vying for the 8 seed. Would that be a good matchup for Sacramento, and is that one that Warrior fans should want to see?
I think if I'm the Warriors, if I'm a Warrior fan, do I want to knock off LeBron James and the Lakers, or do I want to knock off the Sacramento Kings? I don't think that there's any question the Warriors would win either matchup. Fair enough?
Right.
I mean, I'm Northern California, Jim. I want to see the Kings. For people who don't know, I work for NBC Sports. Part of my job is to work Kings pre- and post-game shows. The Greg Pop of the Sacramento Kings is what I'm referring to.
So to speak.
I would like to see the Kings get in there. Even though the Kings are going to get beat up pretty good in a playoff matchup, they haven't been in the playoffs for 12 years. They have the longest dry spell of any team in the NBA. I think it's going to be good for Northern California basketball, but I would imagine general NBA fan doesn't care about the Sacramento Kings.
They
want to see LeBron James and the Fakers lose to the Warriors.
LeBron James!
Here's why I want the Kings to get in.
Was that needed, Jim?
Here's why I want the Kings to get in.
Tell me
to
why.
Keep, because I was the guy who said 6 months ago the Lakers would not make the playoffs. I am dead on with that prediction.
Jim, are you dead on?
I am dead on with it right now.
You know who missed 17 games, buddy?
LeBron James.
He missed a few more than that.
And you know what place they were in before he missed 17 games, Jim?
What was
it? They were in the third position.
Or
third
the fourth.
Third or fourth position.
All right.
Okay? So let's stay within the facts. Let's stay within the guidelines here before you derail this and talk about the Fakers. The reason why I'd want to see the Lakers, yes, I know that the Warriors would beat them. But I think it's better served for them to go through the Lakers because the Lakers are going to force them to play a better brand of basketball. If you look at your team, if you look at what the Sacramento Kings can do, they're fast, they can run, they're exciting, they're electrifying. I get that. But far as fundamentally and with LeBron and Rondo and the things that they do, they're going to force this Warrior team to play a better brand of basketball, in my opinion. And thus, I think it will help them in every the rounds lead afterwards because of the fact you're going to be playing against guys that are pretty decent in the middle. You're going to be playing against a guy who can orchestrate things, LeBron James. You're going to be playing against a Rondo in the playoffs who's pretty aggressive, can do, make some things happen. So you're going to have to be on your P's and Q's, and I think it would make them a lot sharper than go out there and play against the Kings. The Kings are going to be running and gunning and just scoring a lot of points.
I'll give you this. Everyone's going to obviously focus on LeBron. Rondo had the Bulls in a scenario to almost knock off the Celtics. Was it 2 years ago or two? It was a couple of years ago when they were. Everyone thought, oh, the Celtics are going to push right by them. The Bulls took two in Boston, and Rondo got injured.
That's right.
Rondo is a wild card in this.
He's dangerous, especially as a playoff player.
Yes.
Klay Thompson in Anthony Slater's piece says it would be much more fun to play the Kings because they wouldn't have to travel so far.
There you go.
That'd be sweet. Save the legs. Just go on I-80 instead of having to get on a plane. How much, Low, does air flight, air travel affect you as a pro athlete? It seems to us, the common folk, like, come on, it's first class. You're going to be fine. But does it affect you?
It does when you go across country, Dibs, without a doubt. Your ankles, your knees and things once you land because of the altitude and stuff. You're like, man, I'm kind of stiff when you get off the plane. You know, a lot of water. You want to hydrate. That's why on the plane, you're lots of water. Trainers are walking around making sure you're giving you the water and electrolytes when you're traveling 4 hours. But if you're L.A., you know, boom, time you get to the plane.
You could commute from L.A. here.
Yeah, it's a freaking quick flight, 45-hour
flight. It's harder to drive from Danville here in the morning.
And that's the point. If you're freaking driving the bus, you're probably time to get to Sacramento. You already landed in L.A.
Can I say this, though? You play the Lakers, I don't think your legs are going to get as tired playing the game. You play the Kings, your legs are going to be tired. The pace the Kings
without a doubt.
Play,
that's
it's a different pace. You're going to beat the Kings, but the Kings are going to run up and down the floor, and you're going to have to be on your toes.
Right now, the Kings sit ninth, just a shade behind the Clippers, who everyone expects to come back.
Do we all agree they
cashed in? It felt like
it,
but you know, you look what Indiana's done without Victor Oladipo, a team that's showing some life in the Eastern Conference. These guys are pros, and they all want to win, even though we all say, oh, they're going to go into tank mode.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell a pro athlete to not try. Up in 10 minutes, we're going to get into Zion Williamson and what happened with his poor shoe yesterday. But right now, we're poking through some of the second-half storylines as the Warriors get set to play the final 25 games. One thing that's interesting to me is what this team has become defensively. We know Draymond Green with the various maladies, the toe, the knee, the shoulder. He hasn't been able to give that 100% defensive effort night in and night out. Can this team, Low, turn back the clock and become an elite defensive team again? Because right now, if you look at the metrics, they're currently 15th in the association in defensive rating. So this is a team that's been top six, three of the last 4 years, normally an elite defensive team. Can they get that back?
I think they can, and I think they will, Daniel. I think that's a great question. And you look who's running the defense, and look no further than Fresno State Finest. When you think about Ron Adams and what he's been about, he's been a defensive guru, and this is a guy that takes a lot of pride in his defense, Cozy. And you got to realize he understands where they're at in the standings, and he's talking about, hey, look, pack your defense. I hear the players, even though this is a prolific offense and we understand what Steph and Clay and KD and what those guys are able to do, especially parts putting the ball in the hoop, in the cylinder, they're unbelievable. But you got to play defense in the association. And I know the Warriors, they take a lot of pride in their defense. And right now they're at 15. And I'm telling you, Steve Kerr's telling them, guys, we can score. We got the best three-point shooter the game has ever seen. We got probably the second best in Clay, and you know, and probably the fifth best in KD. But let me tell you something, guys. If we're going to win another championship and we're going to get to where we want to get, we're going to have to play better defense. And I think that they're going to sound the alarm.
You know what? When it comes to the numbers for the Warriors, I think they're all skewed because they haven't been whole for most of the season. Throughout the year, they've had guys missing all the time. They have so many superstars, though, that they can still compete at the highest level. I think they can get to that defensive area that they think they are. What was their highest defensive rating? Have they ever been in the...
They were number one, their first championship season. They were first in defensive rating with a 101.4. I know now with pace being quicker and offense having a little bit more of an edge because of the rules and all that, that the defensive rating will never be back to 101.4, but they're at 109.2, which is a complete 8-point difference. And the fact that they're in the middle of the pack, to me, speaks to them losing a little bit of that defensive edge.
Yeah, it probably does. But again, it's because they haven't been whole. I think when you get these guys in a playoff scenario, and you go to the Hamptons five, and then they know what to do, and everyone's... I think part of the issue also was, I don't know if I'm the only guy who saw this, I don't think Draymond Green was as fit as he's been in the past. I thought he looked a little soft as well. I don't think he was 100% there. As the season wears on, I think they're getting their bodies ready for a playoff run. Yes, I think they're going to be there defensively. Man, they are better than everyone else. I told you a minute ago, I might be the guy who says 16-0 is the target.
Wow, in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I was the first guy saying I'm taking the field over them 2 months ago.
Sounds like a flip-flop to me, Jim. Can
it
you explain?
It might.
You go from taking the field to saying they're going to be undefeated?
Yeah.
Are you hedging your bets, or do you have commitment issues? Which is it?
It's more commitment issues, I think. But I think at the time, you can only look at it from where you are. At that point, I was taking the field. As these guys, as the clay is starting to mold together, my God, if everyone comes back healthy, you add Cousins, if he's 70% Cousins, forget it.
So does it not matter then, Lo, if they improve their defense at all? Because what Jim's saying is the offense is so good that maybe it doesn't matter.
Don't put words into my mouth.
Jim is saying that defense doesn't win championships anymore. That's what he's saying.
Jim is trolling you. Jim does not know what he's talking about. And I would expect more from Jim.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Than to sit here and say 16-0. Jim, I don't care what they do. I don't care how well they play. This team is not going 16-0, and they're not going freaking 15-1. It's possible, but not probable. We won't see that again. I don't think you'll ever see that in association.
No team has ever completely run the table in the postseason. The Lakers with the one loss. The Warriors had the one loss.
Yes.
In the postseason as well.
Did the Bulls have a one? No.
The Bulls never went undefeated.
15-1.
The Lakers, I believe.
Is that the Laker one?
Kobe Shaq, 15-1.
He just said that. I don't know if you heard him.
No, I wasn't listening.
Iverson, when they...
I love it when Lowe and Coase turn on each other.
Yeah.
This is so great.
But no, they won't. They're going to struggle, and especially when it comes
to... Who's going to struggle? The Warriors are going to struggle?
How many times they beat Toronto?
Let's wait.
We'll revisit this, gentlemen, at 7 o'clock, and we'll also get into the latest in the Kyrie KD saga. What really happened at the All-Star game? Plus, up next, Duke, Zion, or Nike? Who suffered the most last night? But right now, it's Anna Kagadakis with What's Happening on 95.7 The Game.
But then an angel came one day, told me to kneel down and pray, for unto me a man child would be born.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Usually that's the North Carolina Tar Heels.
Slipping and injured is Zion Williamson. Back the other way, a layup for Cam Johnson. And 36 seconds into the game, Zion Williamson is down.
He blew through his shoe.
Yeah.
Look at his left shoe. He blew completely through the shoe.
What a scene from Cameron Indoor Stadium last night. Welcome back, Joe Lowendibs, Dan Dibley, Jim Cosimore, and Lorenzo Neal. Thank you to ESPN for the audio. If you didn't see it last night, by now you've seen it and you've heard about it. 33 seconds into Duke, North Carolina, Zion Williamson on a reverse pivot, steps hard on his left foot, shoe gives way, foot comes through, and he sprains his right MCL in the process. He has to leave the game. Duke gets motorboated by North Carolina as a pall was cast over the entire ACC in college basketball.
Pall cast.
Jim, what do you think? I mean, I teased it before. You've got a number of different ways to go with this one because it's a Nike shoe, so obviously a huge embarrassment for Nike. Zion Williamson, the great freshman at Duke, likely number one overall pick, hurts his knee. He might be done now for the season, and for the Duke Blue Devils and Coach Krzyzewski, which we tried to spell yesterday and we're unsuccessful
That's
doing.
That's actually a good game.
It's only good until you get the first three letters wrong and you get ridiculed for it.
It's the end of the show. You guys are just mailing it in.
We basically shut it down at that point. But, Jim, who misses out the most in this? Because Duke, all of a sudden, not a surefire lock to be a Final Four team without Zion. Zion's career may be put in a little bit of jeopardy, and Nike with major egg on its face. Who comes out the worst in this one?
Blue shoe. They blew through the shoe? Is that what they were saying? He blew through the shoe?
Look at
I know
you.
There's blue shoe.
Nice.
There's blue shoe.
Nice.
Now we got blue shoe.
Nice.
Shoe blue.
Nice.
Little shoe blue. I don't think anyone misses out on this. All we do is get a chance to talk about it. They're supposed to have three potential lottery picks on their roster. You lose. You take one of the three out of the equation. I don't feel so bad for Duke. Zion Williamson, I just want to see him play basketball. I think he's going to be fine.
Well, you're grossly mistaken. And I
am
Wow.
Not even seven.
Is he wrong and is he out of line?
You're so wrong and out of line. Jim, for you to be just...
First of all, I only wear Adidas. That's number one.
You're like a feather.
Thank you, Run DMC, with my Adidas.
Exactly.
My Adidas. I mean, for you to just to come in so soft and like, oh, yeah, it's going to be fine and no one loses.
That's good for everybody.
Over Coliseum floors, I step on stage at Live Aid. Go ahead.
Oh, my God.
Go ahead.
Give me something. A lot of flavor coming out of San Ramon.
I got smoke. I got some smoke over here.
Hey, Ricky, Dibs, what was that all about?
That was pretty good freestyling.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Okay.
Best I've heard from Danville since E40. Actually, shout out E40. He lives in Danville.
Shout out E40.
Don't want to disrespect.
Yes.
As I digest.
I think, Jim, you're madly mistaken about here. Badly mistaken. This guy's probably done.
What are you done for the year?
Maybe done with college. Now, Michael Jordan's probably on a plane right now as we speak and saying, Nike wants you to have your own shoe. And go talk, bring your mom, bring your dad. Look, and it's over. What do you guys want?
Just made Zion a lot of money.
He just made, because now.
Breaking that shoe made him even more?
Nike will give him anything. Nike right now, this guy can come out and probably make more than Paul George, even though he was in Fresno State's finest shoes, the PGs, unfortunately, that this incident happened.
Oh, he was wearing PGs?
PG 2.5s, baby. Yeah.
Shout out, wow. Fresno, shout out Fresno State.
Anna Kakarikis.
You don't get a shout out for having your shoe give free. Good job, Anna.
You got it. That's what I do.
888-957-9570. Who misses out the most in this? Because let me lay this out to you from the Nike standpoint, Lo. And you make an interesting point about the Nike angle. Kevin Durant, when he was a rookie, 7-year shoe deal with Nike worth a reported $60 million.
He's getting more than that.
In 2014... KD inked a 10-year extension worth as much as $300 million. So if you're Zion Williamson and this happens to you in a Nike shoe, do you think at all, even for 1 second, about signing on with Nike?
Now, the kid's got agent and probably his dad or whatever. Without a doubt, I tell today, you saw Puma tweet over the top. That wouldn't happen in our shoe.
I know. Puma. You know what? Puma's making a strong move right now.
Let me tell you right now. Get in line, Puma. You know why? You can't outbid Nike.
Yeah, you know what?
And Nike's got plenty of money. And they got a brick truck. And hold on, Jimmy.
Isn't Jay-Z?
Jimmy.
Isn't Jay-Z the design expert for Puma?
Jimmy. Now, Jimmy. Let me finish, Jimmy. Now, he's going to probably get $300 million. This kid right now.
What?
He's got Nike over the barrel, Jim. What? You want to whatchamacallit? I don't want a candy bar. Yeah, he got him where he wants him.
Shout
right
out
now.
1982. That thing that changed the game.
It was a good one, though.
Changed candy bars forever.
I was a fan.
Now you can continue.
I'm just telling you.
Please.
If I'm him, I'm only using Nike as a bidding piece. I there's no way I'm signing with Nike. Nike almost ruined his career.
I'm in the same church in the same pew as you on this one, Jim. If I'm Zion Williamson, there's no chance I sign with Nike. After that...
But I use them.
You have to use them.
I get them to the table, and then I go and sign with Adidas. And you know what I do? I do it like when I sign my college scholarship. I have different hats. I'm going to have different shoes.
This is good.
I'm going to have
like Letter
Pumas.
Of Intent Day.
Letter of Intent. I'm going to have Pumas. I'm going to have Adidas. I'm going to have Nike. And I'm going to see. I'm Cinderfella. It's going to be like Cinderella. I'm going to try on each shoe to see which one fits best. And the one that stays on will be the one I sign
don't
with.
Don't you think Nike will give him anything that he wants? We haven't seen a generational talent like this in 10 to 15 years. Don't you think Nike, if Adidas offer him $100 million, they'll offer $200? If you think they offer $300, they'll offer $600? Nike's in a must situation. They cannot let this young phenom get away. And what is the golden rule, Dibs?
Has the gold rules.
No question.
That's the rule.
That's the golden
that's
rule.
That's the golden rule.
That whole do unto others thing, that's so first century BC.
This dude, Nike has the money. Nike is going to say, what do we have to do? And this guy still loves those shoes. He's been wearing them forever. I'm telling you right now, Nike got it.
Let me tell you this.
Tell me.
Not only is he not going to sign with Nike, and he's going to play
them,
other guys are not going to sign with Nike because it almost crushed Zion Williamson. Now the other guys in the first round are going to say, man, if Zion doesn't want these, then I don't want these. Here comes Adidas. Here, I'm telling you, Puma makes the play.
888-957-9570 or hit us on the Chilton Auto Body text line at 957-95.
Did you see the odd sharks for the odds of where he will sign once he gets into the NBA?
Give it to
Adidas,
us.
Adidas, +125.
Bam!
Nike, +150. Puma, +400. New Balance, +1600. Under Armour, +2,500. And Big Baller Brand, +10,000.
Wow. I think Under Armour is a smart play there as a as a price point of, what, +2,500, you said?
2,500, yep.
So 25-1.
The poll racism there. I see no Li Ning shoe there from the Chinese.
Anta?
Shout out Clay Thompson and Anta. Yeah, we're... If I'm Clay Thompson, I'm sending a box of answers over to him as my little PR.
And he's going
to
say, what are those, Lever rights? Leave them right where you got them. I don't want those things. Let me tell you right now. Coase, how much? I know you're not a gambling or betting man.
No, I'm not. I'm a God-fearing man.
But let's make this bet now.
Ethan.
How much you want to play? How much? What do you want?
On what? For
these guys going to sign with Nike.
All right. Let's do lunch.
You guys lunch. So is that fair enough?
Fair enough.
With me, it's just you, not those two. But you can pay for those two if you want.
Yeah, and based on his track record, you'll get your lunch at about 2022.
What is going on? 888-957-9570
or the Chilton Auto Body text line at 957-95. The other question, Lo, and we're going to tease it for the other side, is does this eventually cause the end of the one-and-done rule? Because Zion Williamson is only in college for a year because they basically made him. It's Coase, it's Low, it's Dibs. We've got that
Dims
and more coming up right here on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Low and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Get it, Jim?
I already did it.
Come on, Coase.
I keep the laces outside. I don't even have laces in. I got the tongues flapping. This is probably the best rap album, CD, whatever, ever, is this one.
You love this? You used to be rolling?
Oh, my God. I was all over this.
Were you?
Was this mid-80s about?
Yeah.
87?
So you college rolling around in college
this
doing this
was,
thing?
This was probably the greatest.
You was in college? Where were you doing your thing?
I was actually in Silver City, New Mexico. Jim Coase on the Nifty 950. I was a country music DJ. Jim Coase on the Nifty 950.
Soft and warm, keeping it gentle at night.
And it's real.
Nice.
Real country. Nice. Like Tom T. Hall, Johnny Cash, the real stuff.
Johnny Cash. Oh, yeah. I met little Johnny before. I got some pictures with old Johnny Cash. Met him down there
really?
In Miami. Absolutely. True friend. Phi Alpha. Me and old Johnny took some pictures. He and his wife. He was on his RV traveling around.
That's awesome.
I said, Johnny, I got to get a picture with you.
That's some real stuff right there.
But Johnny Cash.
I'd be rolling around town. That is the best rap CD in the history of the art form. But everything else is playing for the silver. Everything else is playing for the silver.
One of the great product placement rap songs of all time.
No question.
Yeah,
and that's basically why we rejoined you with that. It's Dibs. It's Coase. It's Low here on 95.7 The Game. The top of the hour, we'll get deeper into the Kyrie Irving, KD All-Star conversation because as now being an amateur lip reader, all of us, that's all we do now is we lip read when we see two stars
that's
from
news?
Opposing teams
that's news?
Get together. Yes, we make it news, Jim.
Good.
Darn it. We make it news at the top of the hour. But we're talking my Adidas because Zion Williamson ripped through his Nike last night, injuring his knee. Does this end his college basketball career? Lo, if you were his father, and I know you have a son who has been in a similar situation, playing defensive line for Purdue. He sustained a knee injury, and so you and he had to have a discussion about how to proceed. If you were Zion Williamson's father, knowing the tournament starts in 4 weeks, and considering the knee sprain, not so severe it looks like, that's going to definitely keep him out, how would you advise the young man as it pertains to coming back to play for Duke or just shutting it down for the NBA draft?
I'd definitely say, let's go see a psychologist. Let's get some help mentally. Because here's the thing you don't understand. Here's the thing. Now you got to realize, when you're young and vibrant and just full of energy, piss and vinegar, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, there are a few different phrases, some we can't use there.
Absolutely. And you think you can jump off a building. And you don't feel like anything can hurt you, and you see that, and you're running around. We're in high school, freaking hitting 100 miles an hour, driving. You're like, dude, and people are like, what are you? Be careful. Taking corners, jumping off houses. I mean, you do stupid things at young age because you feel invincible. Zion had a reality check last night. The guy's put on 100 pounds in 2 years. He's big. He's strong. He's fast.
That's amazing.
Physical.
When I read that, that's amazing. How does your body not, right?
Yes.
Putting on that kind
of
weight.
He's stronger, faster, quicker, and he's powerful. So when you're that big and that strong and that powerful, and you know that the world came out to see you last night. I'd be interested to see the ratings where they're at, Daniel, just last night. I mean, I rushed home. I was working out at the gym, getting my workout in, and I'm like, Zion's coming on. Didn't say Duke. I said, I want to see what the Zion. I want to see this young fellow. Thank you, Obama. Obama was there. I mean, you think of all the people who were there.
Thanks, Obama.
They wanted to watch this young phenom. 38 seconds later, he's done.
He's done. And he blows through the shoe.
Absolutely.
And how does it affect his career as it pertains to shoe endorsement? And what does it do for the one-and-done rule in college basketball? 888-957-9570. Hit us on the Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795.
So when you're asking me, what do you do as a father and as a son, since now you see that you're not invincible and you understand the tournament's coming up and you know everyone wants to see you play, you have a big decision to make. And you know the guy shouldn't play for sure for a week. Now you're in a situation, when I come back, am I sore? Am I 100%? How do I really feel? You know that you're the number one pick in the draft. You know, but hey, do you want to get that national title? Can you help your stock anymore? He's sitting there and he's sitting with his father.
How can you help number one? You're already number one.
Can you help your stock anymore? Now, is it to say, do I owe it to my teammates? How are they going to look at me? How are they going to view you? Well, there's two other guys that's going to probably come out and be high draft picks as well. I really believe that Zion is done. I really believe that you have a guy, a young man that's going to sit with his father and whoever that may be and say, you know, and look at it, count up the cost, look at the situation and says, what do we have to gain?
Let me ask you this.
What do we really have to gain?
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
You have the first pick in the NFL draft. You can take a guy who played all season long and has 12 sacks and was dominant on the field, or you can take Joey Bosa, who decided to pack it in. Who are you going to take? You can take the guy with the track record who you saw play, or you can roll the dice and spend all your money on a guy who quit. You know what? If I'm the guy who's talking to Zion, I'm saying, once you are healthy, you get back on the floor and you win the NCAA title.
You're lying.
No, I'm not lying.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not lying.
You're a lie.
You find out the type of heart a guy has. If he can play, you play.
Jim.
It's Joey Bosa's the same story in the NFL.
Jim.
If you can play, you play. Now, if you're hurt and you can't play, that's a different story.
Jim, he's got 4 weeks. Here's a guy, when you look at Jim, and you're comparing. You look at Josh Allen and you look at Joey Bosa. Okay, flip a coin. This guy, you're talking about a guy, you haven't heard anyone in their mama say that Joey Bosa, we haven't seen this guy since 10, 15, 20 years. Has there any been, I mean, the world stopped last night to watch this young guy play. And you're going to sit here and tell me.
I didn't, I was watching the NHL,
but
go ahead.
You sit here and tell this young man, and it probably has not come from a lot of money, and probably didn't come on a certain side of the track, and you're saying, now go out here and go win us a title. Off his bum knee, you just sprain your knee. It's going to take you at least a week or 2 weeks just to get back with the sprained knee. So now you're going to ask this guy to go out here and play and sacrifice it for who? For what? For the university?
No, I didn't say to do that. Just go win a championship.
No,
it doesn't have to be for the university.
The
How about for yourself?
It's for the fans. According to Darren Revelle, Jim, last night, a ticket broker told me today that Zion Williamson alone added $1,000 to each ticket bought in the secondary market. That's the kind of impact he has on Duke.
And that's why he won't do this. He will not play again. Mark it down.
Let me drop the mic.
Write it down. Drop the mic. I'm already dropping it.
Lock it up.
Lock it.
Mark it.
What if, say, you were really, really, and I'm just hypothetically speaking.
Hypothetical.
Really, really excellent college football player, say a fullback at a mid-major school, but you're also a really talented athlete in another sport, and you had an opportunity to get drafted high in football, but you really love this other sport, and you knew if you just gave up the other sport, you'd probably go in the first round and make a boatload of money. But you really love this other sport.
You're so messed up.
So
this is,
maybe I'm going to go, you know, I'm just going to go dabble in that other sport. And then I'm going to go to the combine and I'm going to see how I do, except I use all my energy over here in this other sport. And then I end up not doing so well in the combine. And then I get drafted a little bit lower.
Lo, you feel like he's coming down your road right now because you, quote, dabbled in wrestling, even though you were an All-American. Are you feeling a little bit I'm just saying.
You're wrong.
And you know I use that as an example of your greatness.
You're wrong and you're out of line. I was ranked number three in the country.
Right.
And here's the thing. I wish I would have never wrestled that match. I wish I would have never wrestled that
match.
And
that stinks to me.
You know what? Let me tell you why. And I felt that I was doing something as a young man. You felt like I was missing something. I'm doing something for my team. We beat Oklahoma. I get that. I went to the combines and I freaking stunk it up. It cost me hundreds of thousands of dollars. For me, was it worth it?
Because the NFL were a bunch of idiots. You went and did that because you showed how tough you were. That's what Zion Williamson should do. That's what Joey Bosa should have done. You know what? That's just the way I see it. Come back and play the game. You did the right thing. You were number three in the country. You went and fought to try to win it all. That's a competitor. I draft a competitor.
It's interesting because at this point, what does Zion Williamson really owe Duke? He doesn't owe him anything. And if it wasn't for this restrictive one-and-done rule, he never would have gone to Duke in the first place. And Kyrie Irving wouldn't have gone to Duke. And your own Sacramento King wouldn't have gone to Duke. Marvin Bagley Jr. would have gone straight to the NBA.
Everyone's leaving Duke. That must be a crappy program. Everyone leaves after one year.
You can get an education there either. I think it's also interesting the angle about Nike itself. Did they benefit because what Lowe says, now they're going to come over the top and give Zion Williamson an offer that we've never seen before? Or does he turn to another shoe manufacturer? 888-957-9570. Let's get the people involved. Let's go to George Jorge in the jungle. Didn't know we had jungle within our listening radius, but apparently George is there.
Maybe he means the concrete jungle.
Maybe he means the place in Concord, the indoor jungle, which I'm sure Anna knows, where you occasionally have birthday parties.
He's in the jungle and he's got a great satellite.
George, where are you and good morning?
Hey, George.
Swinging on a vine, Dan. Just swinging on a vine.
George, what do you got for us?
Reebok's making a comeback. He's going to pump it up. And since it's coming out of Duke, it's going to be blue shoes, and Guru's going to rep them. He's going to pump it up hard.
Appreciate the contribution, George. Thank you.
I love it. Thank you very
much. Do you love it, Jim? Is that the kind of leadoff batter we needed here this morning on 95.7 The Game?
I love that call.
Do you really, Jim?
I do. I love that call. That's going to spark a lot of conversation.
Bring back Reebok?
Yeah, the pump. Thoughts on the pump.
I had a pair of pumps.
Of course you did.
You still have a pump.
Didn't Brent Berry pump him up when he won the slam dunk contest?
I think that's right.
I thought your wife bought you a pump. For your shoes. You gave me the chew.
You gave me the chew.
For your bike. Remember? Do a lot of cycling. You do it.
I do.
You do what?
He does a lot of cycling.
He does. Yeah. You freaking do, you know. But anywho, let's get back on Zion as I digest. I think there's a situation here, Jim, and I understand you're saying, hey, this guy comes back. If this was the beginning of the year in week one of the basketball season and you got 3 weeks to get healthy and come back, I think the kid would come back. I really do. But now because you only got 3-4 weeks and it's over, I think it's a different circumstance. I think that you're going to miss a week or just 2 weeks off the top of spring knee. You have to that's how you would do it anyway. I mean, you got Embiid's going to miss a week or 2 weeks because he's got a knee. So if you're looking at a guy in the pro that's going to miss a week or 2 weeks, it's okay. So now if you look at Zion, you got to look at it from his perspective and got to look at it from his parents' perspective. And this young man, he goes out there and does more damage to go try to win a national title, go out there and doesn't look and maybe a little hesitant and not necessarily doing his physical and not being – he can also be hurting his team. He goes out there mentally not ready to go and not ready to play and not ready to play at a high level. That's not good. I really believe we have saw the last of Zion Dibbs in college.
But have we seen the last of the one and done? That'll be interesting to me and through all of this. Because you know Zion's going to get better. It's a sprained knee. It wasn't a torn ACL as far as we know. And we're all thankful for that. But to me, the real takeaway is the question as to whether or not this actually will change the landscape of college basketball. Because this player is big enough. And if he doesn't play in the tournament, how much money does CBS lose as a result?
I'm not watching Duke because of Zion Williamson. I'm watching the tournament because I love the tournament. I'm sorry. I'd love to see Zion play, but I'm not going to not watch because he ain't there.
Darren Revell, $1,000 added to each ticket. The Zion factor is real, Jim, whether or not you want to own up to it or not. You're listening to the 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning, Joe Fortenbaugh. Getting a prolonged weekend, much deserved. It's Dibs, it's Low, and it's Coase. Of course, the great Anna Kagadakis here as well.
Hey, can I? I didn't mean to you know, tease block
roll,
you.
Jim.
I know you were.
You tease blocked me.
But
I was trying to lay out the hour.
Okay,
I was
trying the hour. But I wanted to build off something you just said.
Build
about
Bob the Builder.
And done, about
Bob the Builder's here.
Are you ready? Look, if I'm a high school kid right now, and I'm a 5-star, why am I even going to play next year if it's one and done? Why don't I just go to an elite training center after my high school year?
Jim, that makes no sense.
And I go do that. Why do I even waste my time? You guys are saying Zion's done. Okay, Zion's done. But if I'm a high school kid, I'm a 5-star kid.
I got a 5-star kid I can get on the phone right now, and he'll tell you why he's going to go play basketball at San Joaquin Memorial next year. Jalen Green, a little kid that I mentor, talk to him, talk to his father, and get Mark Green on the phone and go look him up. Jalen Green.
I trust you.
He is
no
a
need
baller.
To.
He's probably going to be a
one. He's one of the great juniors in America right now, high school juniors.
And he's probably going to be a one and done.
Well, he's
kid.
A junior.
That's what
well, he's got to play. What I'm saying is if I'm
said,
a 5-star kid who's a senior going into college next year.
But he's going to be going. He's going to be a senior next year, and he's going to be going into college the following year.
Right. So after that, so what I'm saying is, after his senior year, why not just go to an elite training center for 1 year and just work on my skills? Why do I even want to compete when I could get hurt, and then I can get myself ready for the NBA draft?
I think it's great that they go to college even for that one and done.
Well, then why wouldn't you want Zion to finish out playing this season?
Because he's injured.
I said if he's injured, he can't play. I agree with you
so
on that.
So if he goes into a training camp, a training facility, what you're saying, for 1 year and just practice little pickup games, you don't get to see the flow of the game. You don't get to see if he knows X's and O's. Jim, how could you say that? You've been around the game
well,
too long
I'm
for
saying
that.
Is...
What are you saying? Please be clear.
You've been around the game too long
too
for
long
that, Jim.
That was weak.
I've been around something too long, I'll tell you
I
that.
I can't let him throw that layup up there and not slap that.
You got to swat that.
Yes.
You got to get in the Mutombo.
I'll let you lay out the rest of the hour. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to add to the discussion.
No,
it's too late. And I was going to mention that up in 10 minutes, we will get into the Kyrie and KD discussion as to whether or not it's our business that they were talking after KD received his MVP award. Kyrie's got some pretty pointed comments about you and your media brethren and sisterin, I think would be the inaccurate way of describing.
A little bit sexist there for a second.
Yeah, you know, brethren's just no longer good enough. You got to keep the sisterin in there as well. To me, the biggest takeaway through all this will be the one and done. Will the one and done survive? Because if you're, like Lo was saying...
Aren't they trying to finish it off between in the NBA and the NCAA and the Players Association? Aren't they trying to work a system where it's going to kind of fade away? Like the NBA has that system with